Now, it was a recovery of Pauline truth that shook all Europe and gave birth to Protestantism. How Martin Luther thundered the great Pauline doctrine of justification by grace through faith alone. But inconsistently, most Protestants also still believe with Luther and the Roman Catholic Church that the church of this dispensation, the body of Christ, began with Peter and the 11 apostles rather than with Paul. This is what Pastor J.C. O'Hare rightly called the great blunder of the church. As we search the scriptures, we find massive evidence that the present dispensation of grace and the body of Christ began not with Christ and the 12 before the cross, or with Peter and the 11 at Pentecost, but later with the raising up of that other apostle, Paul. Our Lord went on earth, chose 12 apostles to work with him. Why 12? Well, Matthew 19:28 and several other passages give us the answer. There were 12 tribes in Israel. In the kingdom, when Christ reigns, there are going to be 12 thrones and 12 men sitting with him on those 12 thrones reigning over Israel. And here in Matthew 19:28, he promises of his apostles that they would sit on 12 thrones with him, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 tribes, 12 thrones, 12 apostles. Was there any departure from this program when Judas' betrayal and suicide reduced the number to 11? By no means. Indeed, the first official act of the disciples after the ascension of Christ was to obey the scriptures by appointing a successor to Judas to bring the number of the apostles up to 12 again. Read it in Acts 1. The result, the last verse of Acts 1 says, Matthias was numbered with the 11 apostles, and now there were 12 again. And the next chapter, verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So where the subject of the 12 or where the subject of apostleship is concerned, after the crucifixion there was no departure. There was rather a further development of the program which Christ had begun before the cross. So the departure into the new program began not at Pentecost, nor, as some conclude, at the close of the book of Acts, but it began in Acts 9, where God raised up another apostle, saving Saul of Tarsus and appointing him as an apostle and sending him forth, as we see in the subsequent scriptures, with a further revelation and a new dispensation. Now let's say a word about this new revelation. If the 12 apostles and Paul were indeed men sent from God, on what divine revelation or revelations did they base their messages? Surely there can be no question that the 12 proclaiming Christ's kingdom rites before his crucifixion based their proclamation on the prophetic scriptures. The scriptures had long ago predicted that Christ would be raised up to be king over Israel and the world. In fact, in Luke 1:68-70, we find John the Baptist's father saying, Blessed be the God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up for us an horn of salvation in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. But now, at Pentecost, is there a departure from this? Oh, no. Peter, again, in Acts 3:18-26, based his message upon those scriptures, and I'm quoting, he said, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So the departure from this program, again, begins not at the cross, or with the Great Commission and Pentecost as some thing. But it began with a raising up of Paul, who received his message directly from the glorified Lord in heaven. As Galatians 1:11-12 declares, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So as the 12 apostles fought against themselves, not being baptized of him. As to our Lord, John 4:1-2 informs us that he made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Was there any departure from this program then, at the cross, or under the Great Commission, or at Pentecost? No. There was rather a further development of it under the Great Commission. Remember how he taught them to preach the gospel to every creature in John, in Mark 16:15-16? And he said very clearly, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So still it was water baptism for the remission of sin. Peter at Pentecost said very clearly, working under this so-called Great Commission, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins," Acts 2:38. The terms of salvation then remained the same as they had been under John the Baptist and the 12 apostles before the cross. But later on, there was a departure from this program after Pentecost, when God raised up Paul, who first offered Christ's righteousness, his finished work, for the remission of sins. Here you ought to read, my friend, very carefully and prayerfully, Romans 3:21-28, where Paul stands up and says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." And in the next chapter, Romans 4:5, he makes it clear that as to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is now counted for righteousness. That's God's word, not mine. In Titus 3:5, he says that it's not according to the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. How wonderful. This is his message, our message for today. In Ephesians 1:7, this other apostle, now raised up by God as the chief of sinners, saved by grace, says that we are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:25. In Ephesians 1:7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What a wonderful message for this present evil age. And this message of salvation by grace alone is more fully developed as we get into Paul's prison epistle. And just a word about the economic order. Before the cross, communal living was commanded by our Lord. Instructions to sell all and give to the poor were given to one man, to 12 men, his apostles, and to all his followers. Read this in Luke 18:22-25. Mark 10:8-9, and Luke 12:32-33. Now, there was no departure from this under the Great Commission or at Pentecost. There, rather, we read that all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. That's Acts 2:44-45. This is exactly what Christ had commanded when he was alive on earth. In Acts 4:32-35, we read, "Neither said any of them that aught of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Neither was there any among them that laughed. So after the cross, there was no departure from the Sermon on the Mount and that program, the program of the kingdom. There was a further development of it. The first departure comes again with the raising up of Paul. Shortly after Paul was converted and sent out as an apostle, in Acts 11 we find a breakdown in the communal way of life practiced by the 12 apostles and the disciples. A serious famine threatened, and the Judean disciples who had sold all and had lived out of one common fund now found themselves in trouble. And in response, says Acts 11:27-30, the Gentile church at Antioch sent relief, I'm quoting, every man according to his ability. So some had more, some had less. The change had taken place. And now we learn from 1 Timothy 5:8 that to sell one's personal possessions and try to enjoy communal living with other Christians would be a denial of the faith. This is surely the scripture's death blow to communism. Nor has communal living ever worked out well in what Paul calls this present evil age. Well, all the time is gone. There's the question of the healing signs. Our Lord and his apostles worked these signs. Was there a departure from this program under the Great Commission? No, indeed. The Great Commission says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And at Pentecost, and after the apostles, the 12, and the disciples most assuredly did work these great miraculous signs. They spoke with tongues, they healed the sick, and even raised the dead. So the departure from this program, too, or this part of the program, began not under the Great Commission at Pentecost, but with the ministry, with the raising up of the Apostle Paul. He says, through the infirmity of the flesh, I had my ministry among the Galatians. I was sick. I was detained there. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, the outward man perishes, though the inward man is renewed day by day. In 2 Corinthians 5:4, he says, in this tabernacle we groan, desiring that new house from heaven. Then he says in Romans, the 8th chapter, 22 and 23, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption, or the adoption, that is, the redemption of our body. With Paul, this departure came. And today, as someone has said, the death rate is still one apiece, despite all the healers that are traveling the land. But Paul shows how this is given, this is permitted, so that we might enjoy the abundant grace of God in our trials.